from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
A failure. Let me tell you what, all you people out there that are probably saying, you know what, Ryan is responsible for Jake not doing the Good Atheist more. Ryan
absolutely
is...
actually, that's true.
No, it is absolutely not totally true. It is absolutely not true. I actually, on regular occasion, go, Jacob, let's do a show. And Jacob would be like, no, I'm too busy being a bad atheist. That's what you are.
Is that what I say? Hmm? That doesn't sound like me at all.
That's all I hear. It's either that or just blah, blah, excuse, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah? Like the excuse saying, I'm really tired or working on other projects. I'm so rotten. Mm. Well, luckily, we are doing a show now, trying to make it up, trying to recapture all those lost souls.
That magical feeling.
You know what? Actually, I think that's going to be the opening song.
What? That love and feeling?
Yeah, that love and feeling.
Yeah, okay. I'm down with that. I'm down with that.
you wanted to talk a little bit about something you thought was kind of funny.
Well, you know, I just, you know, you're asking me what we wanted to talk about. And I know we bag on Christians a lot and Scientologists a lot. I think those are the people that get our ire. Well, you know, not a lot of ire. But anyways, we say stuff about them.
We like to roast them like pigs. Pigs on a blanket.
Pigs on a stick, ain't it?
I don't know.
Anyway.
It can be in a blanket. It's delicious in a blanket.
I decided tonight we'd talk about Buddhism, because normally we don't talk a lot of smack on Buddhists.
It's difficult to talk smack on Buddhists. You know what they're doing most of the time? They're just in caves, meditating.
Contemplating existence, which to me is okay, because I've always said that I have no problem with religion so long as they're not trying to keep me from sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And I have never heard of a Buddhist being like, you shouldn't do that.
Well, yeah, but they won't tell it to your face.
Mm, true.
Their whole thing is that Buddhism is about the idea of dukkha, right? Dukkha is suffering.
I dropped a dukkha just before the show.
Oh, well,
liked it.
Yeah, well, I guess you did. No, dukkha is essentially suffering. But by suffering, it's suffering and desire, if you could combine the two. So an example would be, say you really want a plasma TV, or mm-hmm. you really want to have sex with this really hot girl, mm-hmm. or you really want to go out drinking. Well, these are desires.
I do want to do all three things.
I know. And these are desires, but these kinds of desires, these kinds of passion, lead to unhappiness, and you have to get rid of those. So in a sense, you have to be completely devoid
of desire.
Of desire. And once you reach that state, apparently then you just... You know, you get to nirvana, which is
nirvana.
Weird
okay.
Because, you know what, nirvana itself, in my opinion, smells of desire.
It's very true. Now, you might be able to explain this to me. Where
sure.
exactly in this whole Buddhist religion do they tell people, or did they go into that part where people, Buddhists, or people who pretend to be Buddhists, say, that terrible thing that happened in China, that horrible earthquake, was because he treated the Dalai Lama poorly, which is what Sharon Stone did.
Sharon Stone.
Now her being a...
aging hottie.
An award-winning actress.
Award?
Yeah, an award for arousing me in Basic Instinct 1.
Yeah,
and an award for...
I think I gave her that award.
For horrifying me with Basic Instinct 2.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
It's like, here's the deal. You watch number one, you get all hot and bothered. You watch number two, it's like a cold shower.
Yep, it's yep. like watching Margaret Thatcher doing Basic Instinct.
Exactly. Now, she basically said that China was getting its karmic comeuppance with that earthquake that killed, how many?
80,000 people.
Was it only 80,000?
Last time I heard it was about 80,000.
Man, that seems kind of low for China. I'm like, normally
seems
when...
Seems low.
Normally
actually,
when bad
actually, considering... What's happened recently, that's actually high now.
Yeah.
You know, they've been in the lower 10,000s during all their disasters. This is a bad one for them.
I know, but it just seems like anytime anything bad happens in, say, India or Pakistan, it's always, you know, in the sixel digits.
What are you looking forward to that? You have a little counter, you sick bastard?
Well, I have
one of those death
I
clock
just,
thingy?
It's more along the lines of, I always find that us as Westerners, we're always, you know, like with 9/11, we're like, 3,000 people died and it changed everything. And over in, you know what? 3,000 people die in India when...
Well, they weren't rich people.
I know, but I mean, the horrificness of what the world does to people, and the natural disasters like the tsunami,
okay, you're talking,
and the hurricanes,
you know what, I know what
and everything else.
Here's the difference, though. You're talking a natural disaster, and you're talking another one being an act of murder.
Okay, yeah.
And Mother Nature's a cruel bitch, but sometimes when a tornado comes torn through, and it done rip your child out of your hands because they got a suction cup right out of the fucking basement, well, you know... It's a tragedy, but it's not a tragedy as though your child gets snatched by a terrorist, strapped with bombs, and thrown down a chute.
But okay, let's look at this. And I know we're kind of going off onto a tangent, but we'll get back there. Don't worry. If you believe in God and you have terrorists who are doing this as an act of religious fervor, then that is a kind of like an act of God, and then these natural disasters are kind of like acts of God. So why can't you just be like, God, you suck? this is what I've done. I mean,
okay, but do you want to go back to that point? Are you saying anything? Because this is still retarded.
Yeah. So here is where Sharon Stone is coming in, and she's saying it is karmic comeuppance, karmic payback towards China for
their mistreatment of the Dalai Lama.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, here's the idea: karma in the Buddhist religion is completely unrelated related to, I guess, the granddaddy of Buddhism is Hinduism. Mm-hmm. Okay, and Hinduism is a class structure based religion. Mm-hmm. In a nutshell, because I like saying the word nutshell, you have this idea that people how they live their lives and the things that they do and the things that happen to them are partly responsible because of actions in previous lives. See, mm-hmm. they're all about resurrection and so on and so forth. That's why they actually think the highest form of life is a cow. You know, if you're reborn as a cow, that's an awesome life right there.
Man.
That's the best you can hope for.
But it's only
cow.
It's only the best because they treat cows really great. It's like that self-propagating thing. It's like being
it
a cow over here. Not that great.
You
not
will
that
be
great.
Turned into hamburger meat.
And you don't even want to know what's going on to you like during your life. It's like,
oh God, they pump you up full of drugs. Like, it's pretty unpleasant. But anyways, just... You have to understand that Buddhism is a direct reflection of Hinduism, but kind of its mirror opposite. But there will mm-hmm. always be elements of one religion that kind of leak into another.
Mm-hmm.
Elements of Christianity, for instance, which its granddaddy is Judaism. So some of those elements come seeping in. And it's the same thing with Buddhism. So they kind of kept the karma idea,
mm-hmm.
Which I always thought was a little unfortunate, because karma is such a crappy concept, at least the way that most Hindus and some Buddhists believe. I like the idea of instant karma. John Lennon was all about that. Instant karma is basically you reap what you sow. It's just mm-hmm. that kind of simple karma. It's not you're being punished now because what you did three lifetimes ago. That just mm-hmm. sucks. You can never get out of that cycle.
Yeah.
That's why they have, when I say it's a class structure, because in the Hindu society, if you were born an untouchable, bottom of the society, and by the way, if you're the bottom society, odds are you're darker skinned. Mm. It's those two things are related. Anyways, if you're really dark skinned and you're at the bottom of society, you aren't even allowed to wear shoes. You're not even allowed to walk in the street and look at rich people. And if they run you over...
Bollywood actors running you over, it's
it doesn't
like,
matter.
It's a fine.
It's a fine. Yeah, be like,
it's a fine for body removal. Not like the family gets any of that.
No. So that's that, that's that crappy karmic element. So then they turn it around and, they'll say something... Well, if that tsunami... Actually, I believe the Dalai Lama said that before, that the tsunami that killed all those people, mm-hmm. On last Christmas 2006...
Yeah.
Killed like 100,000 people. Basically, he copped it up to karma.
God damn.
So somehow, always the poor, always the pathetic, always the bottom rung people must have done something wrong. Isn't that right? Oh, for God's sakes. It's so crappy. What a crappy way of viewing things. I just want to actually say this to Sharon Stone, because I know she listens. Yeah. Fuck you. Honestly. That's just cold, ignorant. You have no right to say something like that. Was it those Chinese people? Were they torturing the Dalai Lama? Did they all come over and just spit in his face? No, they didn't. They didn't ask for this. It's a natural disaster. Stop throwing around that word karma and stop trying to use that as a political issue to kind of, garner interest and attention for the Dalai Lama. That's lame.
And let me just say that it is probably not the best publicity for the Dalai Lama in the world.
No.
Just saying.
On an interesting note, I'm just going to mention this. See, the Dalai Lama normally the successor is chosen after his death. But since China's in Tibet now, they said that they would be the ones that choose the successor.
Who, China says that they're going to?
Yeah, China will choose the successor. But here's the way they went around that.
Uh-huh.
The Dalai Lama said that his successor will be born before he dies.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow. So the Dalai Lama will be picking. So we may well see two Dalai Lamas.
So, but wait a second. Why exactly... like when China's just like, we're in Tibet and we're going to choose the Dalai Lama, why wouldn't the everybody, all the Tibetans, just be like, no?
Because,
I mean, it would be like, you know, them just being like, hey, here's your holy figure. He's this general guy that everybody hates. And they'd be like, aw. It's like, don't listen to them.
You know, at the same time, that most of these people are pretty uneducated. They're not aware that this is that much of a political issue. And they're not, I mean, sure. A vast majority of them probably will. But over time, the more you sell a lie, the more people will freaking buy it.
Mm.
So you just have to... They know that they have the benefit of time on their hands. Sure, maybe the first Dalai Lama that he chooses, everyone's going to be, oh, that's not the real Dalai Lama, screw you. But the second generation, when they keep doing that, everyone's going to start being, well, it doesn't really matter.
Take a look at all of those crazy divisions in the Muslim religion, where it's like one thing happens and another thing happens, and the religion split, and then 150, 200 years down the road, no one even remembers really why they split or what's behind it.
But they hate each other.
Exactly.
Really intensely. Okay, let's move on to the first bit of news that I wanted to talk about. This is in Florida. Now, Florida's a weird little place. I don't know if you know this, but they always do some weird things in Florida. I feel like I feel
like there was some kind of election issue that went on back then. It seemed slightly immoral.
Yeah, I don't remember. But here's an interesting story. There's a man by the name of Jim Piculus. I don't know if I'm...
Jim Piculus.
Piculus. And his career as a substitute teacher in Pasco County has come to an end about a week after he performed a disappearing toothpick trick for a group of middle school students. One of the kids went home, told his parents what had happened, and they complained to the principal saying that he was a wizard and that they had to fire him due to the complaint of wizardry.
Okay, well, here's my opinion on this. If he was a good teacher, then those kids wouldn't be that stupid.
Ooh, well, he's a substitute teacher, so...
Oh, man, he paid the price for the maze.
He paid the price for the other dumbass... crappy teacher.
Mm.
Actually, what's funny is I saw the disappearing toothpick trick. Chris Angel actually had a little part showing you how to do it. You just tape, you put a little piece of tape on the toothpick, and you just kind of flick it back, and you can't even see it anymore, and you move your hand in front, and it's back in your mouth. Anyways, it's a really crappy trick.
Yeah.
It takes 5 seconds to do it, and it's quite crummy. Mm-hmm. And it's a toothpick! I mean, he didn't make a student disappear. He didn't cut a kid in half.
Mm.
Wizardry? I mean, what century are we in? Is this the 19th century? Is this the Salem witch trials? For God's sakes. Your cat's weird. He's jumping all over the place. He was rattled by the wizardry. Oh my God, a black cat.
You were freaking out.
Was freaking out.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, this is a pretty clear-cut case of stupidity. I don't know really else what else. I could, you know, I got my joke in, so I'm happy with that. Is there anything else underlying on this? Is this guy's life ruined, or what's up?
I don't know if his life is ruined. I mean, he can go anywhere other than Florida. Well, with possibly the exception of Texas and Arkansas, and probably have a very good career and a good laugh about it. Move the hell out of Florida, buddy. I know it's nice and warm, but get the hell out of there. There's a lot of morons in Florida. Okay. Let's move on to another topic, and this is Einstein and religion. Basically, there was a letter that was up for auction, and it was a letter between a philosopher named Eric Gutkind. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it.
Gutkind.
You don't even know. Stop saying it. Well, yeah, pretending you know.
I say with confidence, and then everybody else believes me, and they think you're stupid.
I'm pretty sure that everyone knows you're dumb.
I'm the smart one.
Yeah, that's because why?
Wah, wah, blah, 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 blah.
All right, well, the letter was dated January 3rd, 1954, and he wrote to his friend saying, "The word God is for me nothing more than the expression and product of human weakness. The Bible, a collection of honorable but still primitive legends, which are nevertheless pretty childish." I kind of dig that quote. I wanted to put together about $10,000 just to buy that letter.
Ugh.
Just for the nostalgia of it.
Well, let me tell you what. It's pretty harsh. Good thing one of the presidential guys didn't say something like that, because that would be the end of their campaign right there.
You know, Einstein religion is always one of those really freaky things. Everybody wants this guy in their camp. Mm-hmm. You got some atheists that jumped on this saying, this is proof that Einstein was an atheist. Yep. Then you have the agnostics or the deists that say, no, Einstein's favorite philosopher was Spinoza, and Spinoza said that pretty much God is kind of in your oatmeal, that he's not, there's no personal God, but you know, there is a grandeur to the universe, and that power itself can be described. So, mm-hmm. And
so do you
then
think
you have the religious who say, well, he was Jewish, he respected religion, he said that religion without science is meaningless. Is incomplete, and science without religion is meaningless. Mm-hmm. They'll pick that quote. Mm-hmm. That's the funny thing, though. When you have a guy who obviously his views are not
consistent,
not consistent, but they're not clear. So you say it in public. Does that represent how you feel at home? I would actually venture to say that this letter probably represents a much closer interpretation, because as a public figure, Einstein's going to be pretty damn careful. And for this letter to only come out now, well, you know, it was probably buried for quite some time, and then a person picked up and said, "Oh shit." Mm. I don't want to say that Einstein is somehow an atheist. I think he's still a deist, but it's fairly obvious that he had throughout his life a great disdain for anybody who believed in a personal God. He tried making clear to people saying, "I don't believe in a personal God. I think that idea is, you know." Well, he didn't say it in so many words, ridiculous, until now.
Mm-hmm.
Until now, where he expresses the fact that views and personal gods are fairly childish. And it's hard to kind of, well, fault him on that one.
Yeah. Well, you figure anybody that, was involved in the creation of the atomic bomb probably would hope that God doesn't exist, because if he did, that would be bad.
Don't you know the story? He didn't have any partner.
No partner?
You want to know what the story is?
Yes, please.
Okay, well, the story is basically, there was a, I wish I remember the name. There was a friend of Einstein who came over from Germany, and he told Einstein he was very nervous, and he had said that in Germany they were on the verge of discovering the neutron.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And when he explained what the discovery of the neutron would mean, mm-hmm. basically, the discovery of the neutron is the discovery of the atomic bomb. Why? Because by firing a neutron onto a very packed, very refined type of uranium,
mm-hmm.
It creates a chain reaction where all the neutrons keep hitting each other, and you know it's an effect that grows exponentially over time,
yeah.
And creates obviously a giant explosion. So he wrote a letter to, I believe it was Eisenhower,
mm-hmm.
saying that it was imperative that they do something about it,
mm-hmm.
because either they developed the bomb first or the Nazis would.
Yeah.
And it was just a matter of time. It's just one of those things where as soon as that genie's out of the bottle, there's nothing you can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
That was his involvement. And it's funny because they defeated the Nazis before the bomb was able to be made. And there's a few other reasons, and there's a couple of awesome documentaries on the fact that there were these Belgian saboteurs? I forget.
Mm-hmm.
There was these saboteurs that actually damaged a lot of the refineries where they were making heavy water that was necessary for the production of the bomb. So the bomb was never made,
mm-hmm.
and the Germans were defeated, but nevertheless, they used the bomb. And Einstein regretted to the day that he died writing that letter. He wished to God, ha-ha, that he hadn't written that. But that was his involvement. He was not the brains. He had no say in it. He wanted no part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you want to credit him for something, credit him for simultaneously creating quantum mechanics and general relativity.
I suppose. Does that make him big enough of a celebrity that he wouldn't want to, you know, kind of say out loud, God, I don't like God, and God is stupid?
Yeah, but you have to understand, I mean, who would have said that at that time? Only if you're interested in career suicide would you say that back then. And even now, I mean, how many people are really willing to come out?
Well, it was like we said, if a candidate for the presidency of the United States of America does not seem religious enough, then they are screwed.
They are definitely screwed. It's always funny, too, that in America, one of the biggest concerns is who is your pastor?
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone believes, well, the pastor has so much influence on a person. Why wouldn't they have an influence on a president?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm scared at the prospect that anyone could have, you know, influence on a president if he's religious.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly, just on off tangent, I was reading a book by Gore Vidal, and he talked about the religiousness.
Gore Vidal is gay.
He is gay.
I know.
The religiosity of Ronald Reagan. And we don't know this, but Ronald Reagan was probably the most religious of all presidents. I mean, you think that Bush is religious? No, forget about it. Ronald Reagan believed that Armageddon was going to come within his lifetime, and this is a man that had his finger on the freaking button. That's a scary thought.
Hmm.
Just some puppet actor who believes in Armageddon. Scary. And he was waiting for the sign. He was waiting for the sign. Thank God the sign never came. And he got wrapped up in, you know, a scandal. I think it was the Iran-Contra scandal or whatever scandal was. He got wrapped up in that, had to do that, ended on a bad note. Whew! Crisis averted because you had a crazy ass religious nutball in, you know, as a president. So you just, you kind of don't want a priest to have any influence.
Yeah.
Let the priest shill his weirdo speech where he says that wine transforms into blood. Just let him have that. That's his specialty. Mm-hmm. His specialty is not running a nation.
Okay, now, I know you were saying that you didn't think you were going to have a little bit of a rant, but I wanted to set you up because when we were talking about the idea of you know, everybody giving so much of a damn about who your pastor is and what's going on, we had a conversation about this before, talking about how America, and generally in North America, everybody just cares so much about what you're up to and what you're doing, while in France, you've got Sarkozy, just divorced his wife and married some hottie and stuff.
Some whore.
But over there, it's like, I mean, the morality of it,
they really don't care what you do in the bedroom. Yeah. Hey, we had a prime minister back in the 80s that married a crazy, hot bitch. She was crazy. Okay? Margaret Trudeau?
Yeah.
She was out of her mind. She'd boast about sleeping with the Rolling Stones and getting high with them. This is the wife of a prime minister, and for sure it was very embarrassing for him, but it didn't cost him. You know, like, he didn't get ousted.
It was as embarrassing it would be if you were married to a person, it just happened, you're like, oh, it's not like you need news cameras and...
It would be the biggest scandal in America if that happened, because there's this idea, if you want my rant, it's basically this, I'm going to keep it real short, but the thing that annoys me about America is this idea that everybody has to be morally perfect in order to be able to lead, and under such pressure, it is impossible for a candidate to ever be genuine and to ever take risks, because anytime they do anything, the spotlight is on them. Any moment of impropriety somehow means for them that they're incapable of being leaders. But a leader is interesting when he has some color to him, when he has some element that makes him interesting. Not that he is a robot that reflects every Puritan belief that exists. No, I mean, everyone has their flaw. I think it would be better if a president's flaw is that he's addicted to sex rather than a religious nutball, you know? Or that he just, I don't know, he's into chewing gum all day. I don't know. The office of the president in the United States is just held to such high regards that no one can really fit.
So it's such moral high regard, because I think we've all realized that on the actual competency.
Oh yeah, side, and that's the funny thing too.
It completely slides.
It's the funny thing too. They don't have to be competent. They just have to appear moral. They just have to appear religious. They just have to appear austere. It doesn't matter if they don't do anything. So long as the appearance is maintained, America remains happy. Well, I got to tell you, why don't you ask something more of your leaders and forget about all of this BS, who they're dating, who their freaking pastors are, what their religion is. Who cares? Can you do the job? Okay. If you can't do the job, go to Congress.
Very nice. Good rant. I'm glad I set that up for you.
All right. You know, the last topic that I want to talk about before I say this stupid person of the week, which you'll appreciate, by the way.
Oh, we're doing stupid person?
We're doing stupid person. Actually, it's stupid / racist person of the week.
Okay, I'm definitely against slamming racist people.
Okay, you're against that, or you're
no, I'm totally for it.
Okay,
no, right. I'm against it. I hate the Jews.
Oh yeah, that's right. They screwed you. Okay, this is an incident that happened in the UK, which is really surprising. It's a 15-year-old that got arrested for calling Scientology a cult. Now, they couldn't name the kid, obviously, because of laws over there. But it happened during a protest against the Church of Scientology on May 10th. Demonstrators for an anti-Scientology group, Anonymous, which we've talked about before, who were outside the church's $23 million headquarters.
Million pound
headquarters.
And that's that's not its weight. That is the currency that people in the United Kingdoms use as their. It's such a foreign place. It's so strange with their pounds and their stones.
Yeah, it's confusing. Anyways, it's near the headquarters.
It's like $50 million.
St. Paul's Cathedral. They were banned by police from describing Scientology as a cult because police believed that it was abusive and insulting. The teenager, when warned, refused to back down. And they, there was a 1984 ruling in which they basically said that you can't call an established religion a cult. Or you can't use it as described as corrupt, sinister, or dangerous. And after that exchange, the policewoman handed him a court summons, and they removed the signs that he was carrying. Now, here's the talking point that I want to say, and I think that this is a pretty good issue. There was one of the, I think his lawyer or something like that, was arguing this, saying that these were completely peaceful protesters that had a valid opinion. Criminalizing, because it is essentially what they did, I mean, they didn't throw him in jail, but they definitely gave him a fine, or they're trying to. Criminalizing the use of the word cult is like trying to criminalize the use of the word war or tax or anything else. It's pretty disturbing if you think about it, really.
Well, you look at, you know, again, I guess what we're doing now is we're getting off our normal punching bag of America, and I'm sorry, Americans. Yeah, we like a lot of stuff about it, but you know, there's just some stuff that we go off on. But anyways, we're getting off our punching bag, and we're getting out of the UK punching bag because goddamn, are they psychos over there too, with all the cameras everywhere?
I know it's ridiculous.
It is. George Orwell is rolling around and is like doing like 1,200 RPM in his grave. That's what he's doing.
It's insane. You know, I actually kind of enjoy in the UK. They have theater groups that go over and they make theater protests to the cameras where they make fake plays. Usually George Orwell's 1984 is, you know, and the irony is not lost. But the UK is a very, very weird place, and you know, it's a lot more conservative than we realize on a lot of issues, including free speech. And I just got to say, I'm pretty disturbed. I'm fairly disturbed. It's also disturbing that mostly in Europe, I mean, you know, they take a tithe automatically from your paycheck. Do you know what a tithe is?
Yeah.
Well, for those of you that don't, a tithe is basically a certain amount of money, a percentage of what you make that goes directly to a church. Well, in the UK, for instance, they just take it right off you. It's not an option. It's not, you don't have a choice. It goes to the Church of England. Screw you. You make some money, they're just going to take it. And I find this unacceptable. I'm going to take a tithe for the Church of Atheism. Huh? How would they feel about that?
Is this a breaking point? Would you not live in the UK because of the tithe?
I dig the British. I like their documentaries. Their TV sucks balls. All they do is watch freaking Big Brother and other kind of garbage TV. But their documentaries, their BBC Four. Top notch program. So I kind of like them for that. But I would definitely, if I went over there, I would throw a hissy fit. I would definitely throw the word cult around.
It is, to me, it's interesting, at least with the people from the UK. I mean, you always think about, you know, in the States, everybody always talking about their rights. Everybody in general knows, to a certain degree, just from watching enough stupid television, they know the general idea of the, you know, the important bits of the Constitution as far as what their rights are. So even though they're not 100% sure on the wording of it, they'll generally know when their rights are being abused. And violated. But in the UK, and even the same in Canada, because we don't have this super hyped, you know, really well marketed Constitution or Charter of Rights and this kind of stuff. And, you know, we have these things, but no one knows what's in them.
Well, here's an interesting thing. I actually read the Canadian Constitution. It's surprisingly short. But here's I'm going to ask you a little trivia question because I mentioned this the other day, but I want to see how good your memory is. What year was a Canadian Constitution signed into effect?
Oh, it was signed into effect in who cares year? Yeah, 1984.
1981.
Oh, whatever.
Yep. And it was signed by the Queen because she's her head of state. Ooh, apparently
that,
still.
That was fun. Now I don't remember what I was talking about. Thanks a lot. That was a fun little trivia break.
Well, it's because you're obviously the smart one, so you're easily confused.
Yeah. Well, yeah, in the UK, people just don't know. I mean, do you think this 15-year-old kid knew that he didn't have that right. I'm sure he thought that the pigs were just being freaking bad, man. Just all up on him.
Actually, it's better when they don't and something like that happens because it just shocks them. Mm-hmm. I would rather him not know. And then everyone now aware of just how outrageous the situation is that mm-hmm. then all of the citizens knowing and choosing not to break that law. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's best when you break that law without knowing it. Because then only then do you realize how unfair that law is. You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yeah, no, I understand.
It would be as though you were walking down the street chewing gum and a cop just threw you against the cop car, be like, "You're under arrest for chewing gum!" You would probably be pretty outraged. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you just kind of need to get a police baton up your ass to realize that you live in a police state, that you are not as free as you think. And I don't want to go all conspiracy theory on most people in Britain or Canada or the U.S., but that is the reality, that we live increasingly in police states where the amount of laws and legislature keeps growing, but your freedoms keep shrinking.
It's funny. If you ever go back and watch, those 60s war movies and stuff like that, like The Great Escape and stuff. Sorry, I said like. But yeah. You, on your downside, you mm-hmm. have talked about chewing gum twice for no real good reason. You just like, you got chewing gum on the brain.
Sure.
So anyway.
It's better than having the word like on my brain 50,000 times.
Okay, anyways.
As though, that's another thing. Try to use as though.
Okay. So you watch any of the movies from the 60s, such as The Great Escape, mm-hmm. and always in Nazi Germany, they're always talking about, "Let me see your papers.
Papers, please.
And that was, the reason that they always do this in these movies was to show what a ridiculously, how not free the Germans were and how crazy were, because you couldn't go anywhere without your papers. And now, if you look at how things are being run now, they're talking about identification cards. You always have to have a reason for where you're going, and you can always be questioned.
And you need to carry your papers.
Yeah.
You are legally obliged to carry it. And this is true here in Canada, too. If you walk around without ID, you're in serious trouble. They just don't ask you all the time with a nice German accent for your papers. Mm-hmm. But if they need it, you better have your papers.
But it's just getting worse and worse because I tried going through an airport without having a very thorough reasoning for doing whatever you're doing. You just can't do it anymore.
Nope.
You just can't do it anymore.
It's kind of sad. And I actually hope that this is going to be an opportunity for the Brits to kind of realize just how disturbing their police state is. And do something about this retarded camera system. I mean, for God's sakes, don't let it happen. Don't. Are you all powerless? Get the Queen to do something. I don't know.
It's funny. There was a bunch of studies and papers. I'm pulling this out of my ass to a degree, but you can take a look into it, all you listeners out there. They've done a study as to how effective these cameras are, and the cameras are completely useless against serious crime, and they only catch, people spray-painting shit and stuff. And even
it makes sense. Cameras don't reduce crime. They just normally make prosecution easier.
But I'm not talking about if you take a look at the percentage of say court cases that have gone through and how much that the cameras have been used, the upside to it all is very, very minimal. And yet with all of these studies coming out saying that these cameras just aren't working, they just put more and more and more out. They're like, more coverage. We need more coverage.
It's not working, so we need more.
We need to put a camera into every single television in everyone's house. Just like
that will then solve the problem. Mm-hmm. You can never have enough cameras, okay? You understand me? Never have enough. All right. Let's end it up with the stupid person of the week. I think you're going to enjoy this one, just basically because of just how ridiculously both stupid and racist this person is.
Okay.
The name of the person is Nicholas Kohlerstrom.
There you go. You just forged through the voice, the name was with a confident voice.
You know what? Actually, can you hold on a second? I'm going to go get my duct tape so you can shut up. Anyways, Mr. Kohlerstrom, make me doubt myself now, is an academic specializing in astrology and crop circles, so obviously his credentials work out, mm-hmm. Who had his fellowship terminated by University College London last month after he said that there were never any gas chambers in Auschwitz. In fact, he said that it was scientifically impossible for 6 million Jews to have been killed. The article was published on an Iranian website claiming to offer current affairs news and articles, but the site is actually just a front for a Holocaust denial page. So I'd like to say to Nicholas that you're a douchebag, and you deserve to have lost your fellowship for saying something so ridiculous. I mean, fellowship from what anyways? Astrology? Crop circles? Stick to what you know, which is nothing, which is make-believe. You are an expert at make-believe.
I just kind of enjoy that rich irony of the fact that he can believe in astrology and crop circles, yet deny the Holocaust. It is...
Crop circles are not scientifically impossible, but the Holocaust was. Nicely done. Nicely done. So, you know what? I actually think that Nicholas might really pull through and win at the end of the year. This is a very strong candidate for Stupid Person of the Year. But he's got the Stupid Person of the Week. And with that, we'll wrap everything up.